Blessings. This is Kathleen Pearl, the end of the age. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and teach and reveal, anoint the words. Give me the tongue as the pen of a ready writer. Abba, I ask that those that hear this message from your heart would receive it by the Spirit, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that it would minister to their heart for the upbuilding, the edifying of your purposes and plan through the ages. In Yeshua's name. End of the age. Okay, today is December 21st, 2012. We've heard all these New Age prophecies, lots of New Age prophecies. For years, we've been hearing about the end of the age of the Aquarius, the dawning of a new age, the end of the Mayan calendar today. A global movement is put together to unify 100 million people today to celebrate the birth of a new era. And let's co-create a global birthday. This is man's hand. And 2012, A New Beginning by Barbara Max Hubbard, the New Age Witch, the head witch of the New Age movement. She has a video on YouTube in which she's touting this new beginning, 2012, and co-creating a global birthday. And the absolute arrogance as putting themselves in the position of co-creator of the globe. Anyway, she has been designated the midwife of change to usher in the new era or new age, Novus Ordo Seclorum. And this is at the heart of the December 21st, 2012 planetary alignment and convergence movement. According to demonized beliefs of those who are involved in the New Age movement, beginning on December 22nd, we have now crossed the threshold of leaving the old paradigm and age of Pisces and entering to the age of Aquarius. According to the New Age belief system, fundamentalist Christians are the number one obstructionist standing in the way of mankind, attaining their final evolutionary leap to become gods or co-creators, as they define this final deception, leading mankind to ultimately accept the Antichrist as their savior. Therefore, there must be, according to the New Agers, a final cleansing process to purge out all that would stand in the way of mankind attaining homo noeticus or homo universalis, that is, godhood, the satanic counterfeit to the one new man in Jesus Christ. There is a man who, and I cannot recall his name. He's a New Age Mayan elder. They had all these, all kinds of rituals on top of mountaintops and in Chichen Itza, and I'm sure you've seen. And this gentleman, this Mayan elder, was saying that he was a physicist, right, by the way. He had a PhD in physics, so he's a small intellect, that they were going to open up, I think he said 70,000 portals, and they were getting people to make all these little pyramids that were actually transmitters to line up with the midpoint of the galaxy that our solar that we are making this alignment, and in the middle of CERN Hadron Collider. Has been up and generating and operating until today will actually be the last day. And there was this 8-minute break at Greenwich Mean Time, 11:11, in which you would be able to change your consciousness. And that as we lined up with the center of the universe, which, by the way, is Orion's Belt, in the center of the universe, there is a black hole. Emitting out of this black hole are photons. And we would be going through a photon belt. Now, all this is scientifically documented. And photon is a light belt, photon belt. And these photons along, there's all these holes in the atmosphere, and along with the Hadron Collider going off in CERN, Switzerland, this would also connect up with the 70 HARPS stations across the world. And they would begin their new age of consciousness. All right, that's what the occult said. Let's look at what the Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the creator of the universe, says. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Matthew 13:49 says, "So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just." This implies it states straight up that the angels will separate the wicked from the just at the end of the age. Matthew 24:3. "Now as he," that is Jesus, Yeshua, "sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Matthew 24 is about the end of the age. Then Matthew 28:20, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." All right, let's have a look at Ephesians 1:10. This is King James. The others were New King James. "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times," okay, that implies the end of the age. It doesn't say that, but it implies it. "He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him." An age can be a certain amount of time, but in the fullness of times, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, the completion implied when the angels go out to the ends of the earth and gather all things, separating the wicked from the just, the signs of his coming, the end of the age, all things will be gathered in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Well, this is a very interesting thought, I think. Okay. The end of the age. Let's look at some views from scriptures about these events that are spoken of in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. You know, there'll be famines, wars, rumor of wars, nation rise against nation, tribes against tribes, you know, conflicts, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, pestilences. These are the beginning of birth pangs. These have been happening on an international level for quite some time now. "And then you shall be handed over and persecuted." The persecution of the saints had been in progress for quite, in fact, the last century, there were more martyrs for the Lord than in the all prior 1900 centuries after Yeshua's death. It was my intention to try to get up in my time zone and pray. Yesterday, I had been walking. I walk and pray. I live in the mountains, and I hiked up a mountain with my Wolfie, Sophie, hybrid wolf dog, sat up on the mountain, began to worship the Lord, began to declare that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all that's in it, and Psalm 2, and Satan is a usurper. The Lord has bought the title deed of the earth with his blood that he shed in Jerusalem, and that blood is crying out for all things to be reconciled in and back through him. That is in process. I came down and I was hoping to wake up my time, Greenwich Mean Time 11:11 at 3:11. I didn't do it. I have a friend, G, who called me and said, "Well, it's going to happen." He was in a different time zone. I said, "Okay, well, we got to pray." This was 4 minutes before 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And we began to pray, and he had a vision. I first had a vision, though. And I want to talk about my vision first, because then he had a vision after. And I think it is the proper order that the Lord was speaking. Therefore, I'll give you my vision first. Let me preface this with the events that happened before I climbed up the mountain. I was driving down the mountain, and the last couple of days I've noticed, even while I've been hiking all around, that the deer are congregating together, almost like herding together. And this is very unusual here. It's often, you'll see one or two or three deer together, a mother and two twins or whatever, but to see 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and to see lots of these groups is not common. So my friend G said, well, maybe they're having a deer conference or whatever. Anyway, even the birds and the squirrels and my wolf doggy and the other forest creatures are not acting normal. You can tell. You can just sense. They sense that something's not right. Then as I drove down December 20th, down the mountain, I saw planes crisscrossing the skies, dispensing chemtrails. Although it was a crisp, cold day, I felt the intensity of the silver molten sun, as though the sun in the Middle East, it was like driving down on me. I think the ultraviolet radiation was high. It was so intense you couldn't look at it. It looked like the sun was melting and blowing out in the sky, and the winds came up in a supernatural way. Not a normal wind, but it was charged with electromagnetic magnetism. And in fact, my hair the last week has been full of static electricity. When I touch things in my car, I get zapped. And there's a lot of high level of electromagnetic charges. Although I do live up in the mountains where there are a lot of metals, especially copper, which change the magnetic directions up here. So you have to compensate when you use a compass if you're hiking through the mountains. My vision, and then I'm going to break down my vision. And I will speak to you about his vision. But first, let me take some scriptures about the stellar. All these signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth, distress of nations, and this whole issue about lining up, the occult's trying to line up and open portals, as it says in the book of Revelation, the key perhaps to the bottomless pit is CERN and these convergence that they're trying to make this consciousness to change man into this homo noeticus. Ridiculous. But anyway, this is man and his arrogance, listening to the lie of the enemy, you shall be as God, you shall not die, and so on. Here, this as the solar system is lining up with Orion's belt, and Orion's belt is at the center of the galaxy. This is where the dwarf star is. And a dwarf star, as I mentioned before, is a bottomless pit, really. And all these photons are coming out. What is this Orion's belt? Job 9:6-13. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the Bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes out by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. All right, let's look at Job. So, therefore, Then Job, it says that he alone spreads out the heavens and commands the stars in their place. Job 38, 25, 37. 25 through 37. Who divideth the water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? To satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth. Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades, the seven sisters, or loose the bands of Orion? Loose the bands of Orion. The belt of Orion is, can you open the bottomless pit? The angel was given the key to open the bottomless pit. Abaddon, Apollyon. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in its season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? Here man is trying to manipulate through HARP technology, weather technology, the CERN, Hadron Collider, through this alignment of the cosmos to open the bands of Orion, to open the belt of Orion, to open the bottomless pit, taking the key. But the angel gets the key and opens and releases Abaddon. Is there going to be a release of darkness at the end of the age? Prophecy in Scripture says so. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can say, stay the bottles of heaven? Who can manipulate the weather unless God gives them permission? Now, these angels of the Lord, I want to talk about the fullness of the end of the age. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, okay, I'm going to take a little switch about cherubims. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Therefore, the only way into the garden now is through the tree which Jesus was crucified on. That is the tree of life. That is the door. He is the door. He is the way. But there's coming a judgment at the end of time, which is reserved. And in that day, at the end of the age, it says in 2 Peter 3, 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now this cherubim that stood in the way of heaven or paradise, this is an interdimensional realm. And the veil has become very thin now as the end of the age, as the separating, all these things are happening in this flaming sword, this fire is a purging that's going to happen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The earthworks shall be, but the things that remain, the things which are eternal, these things shall last forever. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look forward to a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The purging, this is the purging that will happen. Now, as we were praying, G and I, at 11:11 a.m., Greenwich Mean Time today, the vision I saw in the night, because it was 3:11 in the morning, I saw the Lord looking into a smelting pot, moving molten metal back and forth as he examined it. It was a refiner's fire in which the Lord was assaying the metal, and he was looking to purge the iniquity that was in the metal. out of the liquid metal, he drew a mirror, and he raised up the mirror to look in it to see if he could see his face, to see if his reflection was in the metal-turned mirror. All right, let's give some validating scriptures. Job 37:18, hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and is a molten looking glass? Are the skies the looking glass? Are the heavens telling us who and what he is? Is he reflecting? And there's another scripture that clearly states this in Psalm 19, which I dearly love. Here it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and through their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Psalm 19, the word of the Lord and the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now, though we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, then I shall know, even as I am also known. We are his creation, and he is reconciling into him all things that are being summed up in him. We are reflecting his glory. He is looking and purging through the molten metals, through the heavens, through his word, through the fire. And in the afternoon, late afternoon yesterday, the sun was about 10 degrees from the horizon, and it was still luminous and silver, and it lit up the whole house and all the ground around the trees with this intense molten silver light. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and is a molten looking glass? For now we see in a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known. Okay, the Lord is assaying us. He's taking us through the refiner's fire. He's burning up the iniquity and the dross and those things that are not in him in order to draw out of that molten metal a mirror. But we, with all a face open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is God doing? He's changing us. He's bringing us through the fire, the molten glasses, the heavens and the earth, the end of the age. He's by the Spirit of the Lord changing us into the same image as him from glory to glory, summing all things up in him. Without holiness, none will see God. He requires nothing less, and he is perfecting that which concerns you, and he is perfecting that which concerns him. He is the author and finisher of creation, and there is none other. He is the summation of all things in and through him and by him and for him in righteousness. Let me read to you an exhortation from Amos 5:14. For thus says the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek you me, and you shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turns the shadow of death into morning, and makes the day dark with night, that called for the waters of the sea, and pours them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. That strengthened the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink the wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gates. May be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. It may be that God will turn, as in Joel 2, if you rend your hearts and send not destruction, but a blessing. I don't know. I do not know. But this I do know. Micha Moka. Let's look at Exodus. And this is at the time of the judgments of Pharaoh and the deliverance of the people. Times when there are signs in the heavens and wonders, and blood and fire and smoking. In the Song of Moses, which is the Song of the Lamb, it's the verse, it's the unity, all things coming into him. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces, and in the greatness of your excellence you have overthrown those who rose against you. You set forth your wrath, it consumed them like stubble, and with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap, the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue him, I will overtake him, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them, I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Mi kamoka, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Who is like you, O Lord, among all the gods? Micha Moka. That would be Exodus 15, starting at 6 through 13. Corresponding psalm, and this is a psalm to war, which says quite clearly that these people, why these nations rage and the people plot of vain things, and the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That would be Jesus the Christ saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession, and you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And Psalm 110, which is a reflective psalm of Psalm 2. There's just a couple of differences there. But it says, the Lord has said to my right hand, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. This is our God. This is our awesome God. Now, this whole idea is this darkness is rising up. The powers of darkness are trying to open up their bottomless pits and their demon hordes to come out. They're trying to annihilate God's people, which is the same as touching us. You know, we're his body. Why do you persecute me, Saul? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you persecuted. He didn't persecute Jesus directly. He persecuted the Christians, okay? All this is happening because they're coming against the Lord Jesus. This is a covenant war. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and was thrown out of heaven. And he knew his time was short. And he went to make war against the woman and against her seed, her children, those who keep the commandments and the testimony of Jesus. And they overcame the dragon by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, did not love their lives unto death. They are fearless in this concluding year of the Draco, the dragon, as the enemy is spewing out against the covenant people of the Lord God Almighty. And as this gross darkness is increasing, and we're entering into this photon belt, photon means light, a light belt. Maybe this photon belt, this is the light belt of Orion, it's the belt of truth. For those who walk in truth, for those who walk in the light, and 1 John, it speaks about this. Those who call his name, arise and shine, as it says in Isaiah 60, For your light has come, rise and shine. God is not going to leave us. He's going to give us an increase. This is the message, and declare to you that God is light and him is no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So rise up in the truth, confess your sins, come before him, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then you shall shine in the darkness. You shall be a city set on a hill. You shall be like stars holding out the word of life and leading many to him. to eternal salvation. And he will pour out, Michamoka, he will pour out in signs and wonders. The song of Moses, okay, hear me, is the song of the Lamb. Listen. And what does that mean? Who is like you? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. You stretch out your right hand and you're swallowed him. And in your mercy, you've led forth the people whom you have redeemed. This is the song of Moses. And this is referenced in Revelation. All right, Revelation 15. 3. Well, let's look at 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Ooh, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Is that what I was talking about? The metal, the molten metal and the fire that came out, the mirror came out of that the Lord looked in. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, now who overcomes the beast? Who can make war with the beast? Rhetorical question. Obviously, no one can. But the Lamb makes war with the beast. And those who follow the Lamb, who are called, chosen, faithful, that's not everyone. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints, the holy ones. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. And after these things, I looked and behold, the tabernacle, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Now, who is like unto thee, O Lord? Now, let me give you G's vision, the concluding vision that G had. He had a vision of Jesus raising his arms and worshiping in a white wool garment with gold band around the neck and a golden belt. And then this is the song. This is the song. Do you hear me? Are you listening? This is the Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! And I heard a sound in Revelation 19:3. And again, they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. This is the judgment of the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication and avenged the avenging of her blood on his servants shed by her. After these things, I'm going to start at Revelation 19:1. I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. And again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! And then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Get ready. He's coming. Love to you, Kathleen Pearl.